the long promised rescuer king and all that he will do.
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash round his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Helen. And then Tony's going to read to us from John's Gospel, chapter 15, words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples on the night he was betrayed before he went to his death.
And it can be found on page 1083 on the Bibles in your pews. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into fire, and burnt. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learnt from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
Thank you very much, Tony. And perhaps you can have the first slide up, Shirley. I wanted to think today about a biblical theology of trees or Christmas trees. The Bible apparently has more to say about trees than about any other living thing except for God and human beings. The Bible starts with trees, doesn't it, in the Garden of Eden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life. And trees of life are again there in the book of Revelation, right on the very last page of the Bible. So trees are very important in the Bible. In fact, as we'll see, a tree stands right at the middle of the Bible and of human history. But I want to begin with this verse. You know, old-fashioned preachers might have started their sermons by saying, "My text for today is taken from Hosea chapter 14, verse 8. And my text for today is taken from Hosea chapter 14, verse 8. I thought about this one too late for last Christmas. I'm grateful to Steve for emailing me to remind me. Apparently you can tell Outlook to remind you of things, you know, next November, if you want to. So that was all very clever. So God says to the people in Hosea, "I am like a green pine tree." Some translations say slightly different type of tree, but we'll run with a green pine tree for today for reasons that will become even more obvious. God says, "I am like a green pine tree. Your faith, your fruitfulness comes from me." So what on earth do you think God could mean by saying that he is like a green pine tree? Tricky simile, isn't it? Any ideas? What could it? Sorry? Always alive. Okay. So pine trees, of course, they're not always alive, are they? But they're evergreen. They're known for their life. They're also very long-lived, aren't they? I think some of the oldest things on the planet are trees, possibly even pine trees. Any other ideas? Any strong? Maybe something about strength? Yes, or fruit? No. Judith has very cleverly mentioned the rest of the verse. Pine trees are not sort of famous for their fruit, are they? But it seems to be the point that's made here. I am like a green pine tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. And that's connected to Steve's point that the tree has life, so it enables fruitfulness. That's like what Jesus talks about, isn't it? When he talks about being a vine that gives life to us, the branches, and therefore enables us to be fruitful. So God is like a great pine tree, perhaps strong and stable and long-lived and ancient. But I think, as you've said, this idea of having life in himself, God fully alive, God the source of all life, the one who's able to give life and fruitfulness. Let's have the next slide up, Shirley. Now, the Bible tells us that we are born naturally out of friendship with God. We are not like God. We don't have life in ourselves. The Bible tells us, in fact, that all of us, by nature, left to ourselves, are spiritually dead. I know you can get some very witty Christmas trees in pots these days, can't you? But think of your classic Christmas tree. Of course, it's cut off, isn't it? Just like the Bible says that we, by nature, are cut off from God, born out of relationship with him. So this is a very beautiful Christmas tree. It's wonderfully decorated. But in fact, it's dead, dying, isn't it? And our lives can sometimes be a bit like this. Sometimes perhaps they look good on the outside, but the Bible would tell us that there's something wrong on the inside. Spiritual death. If we're not connected to God, we're not trusting in the Lord Jesus, we're not spiritually alive. And so all those cut off Christmas trees, they end up like this. Rubbish, dying, dead, thrown away. And the Bible tells us that without the Lord Jesus, we too would perish. God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he came that all who believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. We don't have this life in ourselves, But life is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have the next slide. Remember our prophecy from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was actually talking here about the Old Testament king, the son of David. And at that time there was a prediction of the exile, when there'd be no more king in Israel. So that the house of David would become like a stump, cut off, dead. But God's promise is of a shoot, of new life, a new king, great King David's greatest son, Jesus, the promised Messiah, who'd be the king who would reign forever, who would never die. And God loves to bring life out of death. Jesus said that he was like a seed that would die and fall to the ground and come back to life again and bear much fruit. So next one, the Bible talks about the cross as a tree. It says, cursed is anyone who's hung on a tree. The cross was a horrible means of execution. It was deliberately awful, so it would put people off committing crimes like the crucified person. The cross was curse and death to Jesus. He was cut off for us. But the cross becomes a tree of life to us. Jesus died and rose again that we might live. And so, last slide, his promise to his disciples is fruitfulness, life, if they'll put their trust in him. None of us need perish. Whatever mess we're conscious we've made, even though we know that all is not well in our hearts, Jesus offers us new life, forgiveness, a fresh start, and fruitfulness in him if we will put our trust in him. So there is a mini biblical theology of trees, the gospel according to a Christmas tree. Let's pray together. Our Father God, we praise you for your strength, your stability, your life. We confess to you our spiritual death, our need of you. And we thank you for Jesus, for life from the dead, for the promise of forgiveness and a fresh start and life and fruitfulness in him. Help us to trust in him. We pray that his words might remain in us and we in him, and that we might live in the light of all that Jesus has said, that we might love you and love one another and bear much fruit for his great name's sake. Amen.